I hope you all have, or at least some of you have, very good memories. Because I forgot to ask, having a verse put on the board. It was my mistake. So I want to chant a verse. And for those of you that have very good memories, you can chant along with me. And those that you are more like me, and you can't remember verses as you hear them, you can listen. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Exactly, very easy verse. It starts Atma Tattva. You don't repeat. Atma Tattva, and then Vishuddha Artham. Atma Tattva means knowledge of Tattva, knowledge of the absolute truth, knowledge of what is. Atma Tattva, Vishuddha means completely pure, and Artham. Artham means goal. It doesn't just mean wealth, it means goal. Most people, wealth is the goal, so dharma, artha, kama moksha. Artha means get money. But the actual meaning is goal. The goal, like we were, goal, what's the goal of life? Ramananda Roy was being asked by Lord Chaitanya. What's the goal of life? So, vishuddhartham, atma-tattva, vishuddhartham. That's the first line. That was easy. Yad aha bhagavan ritam. Ritam means in reality. So this is about Lord Brahma. It's Shukadeva Goswami speaking about Lord Brahma and how Lord Brahma realized the goal. Vishuddhartham. He realized the personality of Godhead, who is Bhagavan in reality. That's what he realized, and then comes the how he realized. Atma Tattva Vishuddhartham. Yad aha bhagavan ritam brahmane unto Lord Brahma darshayan, he saw rupam, the form of the Supreme Lord, avyalika, this is how, avyalika vrita adrita. Avyalika is non-deceptive. Vrata means vow. And adrita, he worshipped. That's the verse. Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Yad aha bhagavan ritam.
Yad aha bhagavan ritam.
Ramane darshayan rupam. Avyalika, avyalika vrita drita.
Avyalika vrita drita.
Very good. Let's do that again. Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Yadaha bhagavan ritam.
Yadaha bhagavan ritam.
Brahmane darshayan rupam. Avyalika vritadritah. One more time. Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Yadaha bhagavan ritam.
Yadaha bhagavan ritam.
Brahmane darshayan rupam.
Brahmane darshayan rupam.
Avyalika vritadritah.
Avyalika vritadritah.
translation, O King, the personality of Godhead, being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of his non-deceptive penance in Bhakti Yoga, presented his eternal and transcendental form before Lord Brahma. And that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. I chose this verse because I like it, and because I like it because it illustrates the continuation of the theme of what we were speaking this afternoon. The great fortune that comes into one's life when they receive a transcendental instruction, and with that transcendental instruction, the opportunity to receive descending mercy in their lives. Because when you receive descending mercy in your life, you can become transformed from a sojourner in the material world into a resident of the spiritual world, eternally situated in that way. But the devotees like this, but Maharaj, you know, basically, we're down here and that's way up there, and how do we like go from here to up there? It's built into the system. We receive some instruction. I mean, receiving an instruction doesn't just mean that one day someone knocked on your door, your spiritual master knocked on your door, and, oh, welcome. I've come with a message. I have an instruction for you. Can you please be happy in Krishna consciousness? Chant and be happy. We all have that. It doesn't take someone knocking on your door or chant attentively. There's something that we all have as an instruction, or so many other instructions. Perform the process of sadhana bhakti nicely. In Brahma's case, there was no knock on the door. It was just a sound that he heard three times. Tapa, tapa, tapa. And he had to figure out what that meant. He was very intelligent. He knew what it meant. Actually, we all know what our instructions are. We know what they mean. We're just not prepared to do them. The problem is not, you know, how do you do it? The problem is our willingness. Or holding on. Or holding on, another way of holding on is you like want to take your baggage with you to the spiritual world. We want the kingdom of God without God. We want to continue the program of being the enjoyer instead of being the servant of the enjoyer. And we're the enjoyed. That's what the servant is. We're the enjoyed of the enjoyer. But Maharaj, that's up there and we're down here. So how do you get there? There's a process. The process is you take the instruction and you make it your life and soul. You bring it within your heart. Yeah, but what if your heart is hard like mine? Like, nothing gets in. I'm trying, and nothing gets in. I'm trying. Keep trying. And one of our... And this verse is Avyalika Vrata. non-deceptive penance, or that's how it's translated in the verse, in the word for word, without any deceptive motive. So here's a distinction between the heart and the mind. The mind, according to their teaching in Bhagavad Gita, the mind carries conceptions of life. It does a number of things. It does accepting and rejecting, sankalpa, vikalpa. Sankalpa, vikalpa. The mind says, you can enjoy. Let's make a nice plan to enjoy. And the mind begins making a plan to enjoy sankalpa. And even as the mind is making the plan to enjoy, there's another voice in the mind that says, no, not like that. Do it a little different. Make this adjustment, that adjustment. They go, yeah, make this adjustment, that. And then that becomes, and then after some time, no, do it a little differently. And we just keep going on. Sankalpa, accepting and rejecting. Remember hearing Srila Prabhupada describe this. Even the way that we structure our calendar, we have, you know, 5 days of work and 2 days of vacation. Or you get a job, and one of the important things is how many vacation days. I'll work very hard so that I can get some money, so that I have a vacation and I can do something very nice. Or make the circle bigger. I'll work very hard to live a pious life so I can go to the heavenly planets. That's the enjoyment part. And this is the working part. And after enjoying for some time, I exhaust my pious merit and then again come to this realm and do my activity to get the Ferris wheel. And it's just whatever the size of the circle that's built in. It's the mind. Mano ratena dasato bahi. It's riding the rata of the mana, the chariot of the mind. And we're very familiar with that program. And although it's the source of our misery, we're addicted to it. That's what addiction is, something that you know is unwholesome and you keep doing it because you're addicted to it. Like, and what would I do without my addiction? Your field of occupation. Because they're, you know, what they find other than their addiction is so miserable that they go for their addiction. But their addiction is worse than, I mean, it's worse or worse. What do you do? Unless there's contact with a higher happiness. Same as the verse that we spoke the first evening. Vishaya vinivartante niraharsha dehinam. Dehinam, those who are embodied. There's the dehi, and there's the deha. There's the occupant of the body, the owner of the body, and there's the body, deha. Dehi nam. For those who are within the body, the idea of vishaya, here's my senses, there's the object of the senses. Looks good. But I find after some time, it wasn't good. It looked good, but it wasn't good. So I should stop that program. But you can't stop that program, even if it's something that you know better. I'm thinking of different situations, that of the devotees that I'm working closely with, and something they know better, and still they do it foolishly. Why? Well, they're trying. But the power of material nature is very strong, and their will is not so strong. The biblical saying is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm saying yes, but my body is saying no. The urges are saying, do it. So we do it. And then lament. Oh, I did it again. Like Indra. Just keeps doing things. He's not an impious soul. He's not only in heaven, he's the king of heaven. A very qualified person. Lord Vishnu rescues him again and again and lifts him out of his doo-doo from the problems he gets himself into, because he's like, does it again. So how do you get on the other side? How do you get out of the Ferris wheel? This sankalpa vikalpa, the attraction for accepting things on the platform of the mind. There's the platform of the heart, where it's deeper, and it takes one who is, in one sense, thoughtful. That phrase that Prabhupada would use is manishinam, thoughtful. They're not living out there. They're looking inwardly. It's also Bhaktisiddhanta's phrase, looking inward. The inward looking, introspective sage who looks within and says, I know inside there's this deeper voice, and it's a stronger voice, it's reality. It says, what I really want, the real happiness, is an unobstructed loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I want that. And they cultivate acting from that place, that unobstructed relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without any ulterior motivation. No other motivation but that, the relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And our scriptures teach us again and again, and the examples of the lives of great personalities, spiritual personalities, teach us that's attainable through the relationship that we have with those who are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then we can get that unobstructed relationship. And if we can't have an unobstructed relationship with the representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're not going to have one with God. It's not going to happen. So we'll continue on the Ferris wheel, on the mind platform instead of the heart platform. Then we can learn to act from the heart. That is that voice inside that says, what you really want is that relationship with the Personality of Godhead. I don't know so much about it. The little bit that I know about it is with these 12 steps and whatever different addiction things. A core thing is the relationship with God. And it just doesn't work. To the degree that someone has some sense of calling upon a higher power, whatever they want to call it. They don't want to use the word God, a higher power. It lifts you up out of the cycle, the trap, the stuck, the Ferris wheel. Let me off of this thing. You know, you can't unbuckle yourself. You're strapped in. Of one form or another form, because we're so accustomed to the mental platform. And just following the mind, wherever it leads us, accepting, rejecting. And our intelligence becomes the servant of the dictates of the mind. There's an object out there. Figure out a way to get it, because it means happiness. Okay, Mr. Mind, I'm very intelligent, and I have the capability of getting that object for you. I'll work very hard for you. And the material intelligence, we need material intelligence to capture enjoyment, just like in the Narada's description to King Prachini Bari. It's in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. Narada, Prachini Bari is the father of the Prachetas. The Prachetas are, they become perfected Mahabhagavata devotees, topmost devotees. And they achieve that by the mercy of first Lord Shiva, and they get the mercy of Lord Vishnu directly. They achieve the topmost platform, seeing the Lord face to face. But their father, very pious and qualified, but attached to fruitive enjoyment, attached to religious type of fruitive enjoyment, karmakanda rituals, but too much attached because of the spirit of enjoying. And because of the spirit of enjoying, he's blinded from what that deeper inner voice is, like might happen to us. When we pay more attention to the I want to enjoy voice and less to what do I really want? What is that real happiness? The real happiness is a loving relationship. And a loving relationship is, I sacrifice for the beloved. Everything, my whole happiness is for the beloved. Prahlad Maharaj is one of many pure devotees who epitomizes that. And he says that directly to Lord Nrisimhadev. Beautiful expression. He's anticipating that Lord Nrisimhadev wants to offer him a benediction. So before even Lord Nrisimhadev offers him, he says, please don't offer me a benediction. How can I accept a benediction? I'm this contaminated personality, born in a demoniac family with no qualification. I have disqualification, no qualification. And if I were to think of some benediction, I'd want something demoniac. So please don't ask me to take a benediction. Before you even ask me, please don't ask me. And if I were to receive something, I'd become proud. And how could I possibly do that? Because whatever it is that I have this of merit that's attractive, it's by the mercy of Narada. How can I depart from Narada? I'll do it again slowly. By receiving something, I'll become proud. Because I'm not pure, receive something. So the fruits of merit plus an impure heart equals pride. You go this way. How could I leave Narada? He's given me everything. Give me Narada's association some more. That would be very nice. That's what I want. Because in Narada's association, then I can understand how to serve you. He'll teach me how to serve you better. Narada's association, please. Then he goes on and says, I'm not that kind of person that's a merchant, vanik. A merchant is one who they buy something at this price and sell it at that price. That's what merchants do. They do something for a profit. Something because I'll get something even more than what I've invested. That's not our relationship. I'm not that kind of, I did something, now I'm expecting something. That's not our relationship. Our relationship is, you're the master, and I'm the servant. And there's nothing else in our relationship. So don't ask me to take a benediction. Eternally give me the position of your servant. And what does that mean? This avyalika. I don't have any other purpose. I have no other motive. That's this word, sankalpa. We have our japa retreats and we have a sankalpa. It's like what your intention is when you're taking part in the japa retreat. From this japa retreat, my dear Lord, I wish, fill in the blank, that's your sankalpa. When the desire of the heart, the soul's yearning for that relationship, however the expression of that comes out, that's the non-deceptive. The other is, I do this, you give me that. That's our relationship. It's an entrepreneurial one, a business relationship. That's not a loving relationship. I want a loving relationship. And in loving relationship, there's nothing else but the position of being the servant of the master. If we even, to a small degree, if that light is on, that desire is where the instruction that we receive touches, and there's a connection, a spiritual connection, we should cultivate that. Strive, according to the language of Rupa Goswami, anukunyena Krishna anushilana bhaktir uttama. In the sadhana stage, I'm directly addressing the question, how do we get there when it's the goal is here and we're down here? Rupa Goswami's teaching addresses that entirely, because bhakti, devotion, love, is pure. It pure means specifically without motivation for speculative knowledge or sense gratification through fruitive activity. And both tendencies are very strong. Just like the verse we spoke about in the morning, jnane prayasa udapasya namanta eva, where those conceptions that we carry, that's another thing that the mind does, it carries conceptions and accepts and rejects them. Spiritually speaking, the instruction is to cast far away, completely eliminate those conceptions that we're carrying that are born of our own imagination, our own power of speculation. Eliminate those, let go of those, and take hold instead, completely worship and serve those messages that we're hearing from transcendence, those nice instructions that are coming in this descending fashion through disciplic succession from the spiritual world. Krishna is sending signals and messages to us, and receive them in the heart. And to whatever degree that can touch the heart, you operate from that place as much as you can. You cultivate. Anukoyena Krishna Anushilana. Anushilana means cultivation. That's how Prabhupada translates it in the introduction to Bhagavad, introduction to Nectar Devotion. Anu means follow. And Shila means behavior. Anushilana, following cultivating the behavior of the perfected souls. I'm not perfected, far from it, but I see in the lives of those that are perfected, the example and the teachings are coming, and I'm cultivating accordingly. I'll follow their instruction. I'll take their instruction as my life and soul. I'm not there yet, but I'll make it my life and soul to somehow get there, to fulfill that wonderful benediction, and thereby, as we were discussing, receive descending mercy. Let my purpose be one. Let my purpose be fulfilling this instruction, pleasing my spiritual master, and thereby pleasing Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Yasya prasada nagati katopi. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote, and we sing every morning for Mangalarti. This is the means of going from the position of foolish ignorance and struggling with the mind and senses and coming to the stage of perfection. It's by this, by pleasing the spiritual master, by taking those instructions as our life and soul, the light that guides us through the darkness of our conditioning, of our Ferris wheel program, of our strong habituation to being fruitive enjoyers. Strong. So strong that even we bring it into the house of bhakti. We want to be the enjoyer of our little spiritual endeavors. After all, we deserve it. We make many sacrifices and we work very hard and people should appreciate, and if people don't appreciate, hey, what's going on? What's wrong with you? We want to be enjoyers. And or the other way, some appreciation comes, yes. I achieve something. I want to be the enjoyer of that appreciation and that praise and that honor and the position and the title and the Maya's kingdom is the big trap. It's not easy to get out. Even when you're trying to get out, you're trying to follow. It's not easy. And the difficulty is not so much from the outside, it's our own impurity of heart. So the cultivation in to successfully follow instruction to reap or receive the descending mercy to the fullest possible way is to be in that spiritual conception. Can somebody get a, or does somebody have a Bhagavad Gita? It's English, I hope.
Yes.
241 Bhagavad Gita. This is the Vyavasayatnika Buddhi verse. From the purport, listen carefully. Fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. The tendency to act fruitively, in a particular way fruitively, due to our past good and bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he needs no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. It doesn't say you become lazy and complacent, but the fruitive motivation, the perk, chasing the carrot, trying to get happiness through this activity, you don't need that anymore. Why? Because Krishna is on the other end of devotional service. And whatever it is that you need, Krishna will, so you don't have to beg Krishna or strive internally with an aspiration, an expectation to get something that you feel is important, that you really, really want in the material field. If it's really important, Krishna will see that you get it. You don't have to, you just perform your activity for Krishna's pleasure. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to the dualities like good and bad. There are things to be done, not to be done, but it's not good and bad. It's pleasing to Krishna or not pleasing to Krishna. On that basis, anukalyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. We still use the mind in devotional service to accept what? That which is pleasing to the master. And if it's not pleasing to the master, pratikulyasya. We have nothing to do with it. On that, because love is the governing principle. Now listen carefully to the next sentence. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is, what do you think follows? Attaining love of God, attaining the stage of pure devotional service, something, you know, seeing the Supreme Lord face to face and engaging eternally in His loving service. That's not what it says. It's preliminary to that. The highest perfection, here's the sentence, of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. Well, that's like a letdown. I was expecting something much higher than that one. But what's the material conception of life? You can't get to those other high things without that thing. Gane prayasa udapasyam. You can't hold on to a material conception of life, like what happiness is, and enter into that deeper Krishna consciousness. You can't go there. You're restricted. There's a no entry. There's giant Vijay standing at the gate saying you can't enter. You have to drop that material conception. I don't want to drop my material conception. You can't enter. You can't enter to the house of bhakti. You have to leave your shoes outside. You have to leave that baggage outside. Then the last sentence of that paragraph, this state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. What is that? That's anukalyena Krishna anushilana. It's the cultivation. So I'm down here. The goal is up here. Cultivation, the process of Krishna consciousness. Following Rupa Goswami's teachings, being a Rupanuga, taking the instruction and letting it enter your heart and moving forward from there. Whatever the other static interferences, that one signal, I know that signal, and I sincerely want to stay with that signal and move with that signal. There's more of the purport that I'm going to skip, but go right to the end. Last paragraph. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body. There it is again. Not theoretically, but practically. When there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. Like, you know, squeaky clean. There's no other stuff going on. We presently have other stuff going on. We have at least two voices. I want to enjoy, I want to have a loving relationship with Krishna. Depends on which channel we're tuned into more. The mind or the heart. The soul's yearning for that to love and be loved. The other, the mind channel is we're just misplacing that tendency, universal tendency to want to love and be loved. We're trying to connect with something that the mind says, it's over there, it's over there, it's over there. Anything to keep us away from Krishna. And the other is, no, it's Krishna. In the position of that loving relation with Krishna, he's the master and I'm the servant, but there's nothing else in our relationship. His happiness is my happiness. That's dasya, that's servitorship. The further, Lord Chaitanya's teachings begin on that platform of dasya. We're gopi bhartur kamalayora, we're our position is the servant of the servant of the servant. Dasa, dasanu das. That's our position. That's our happiness. That's where love enters. And that hankering for a loving relationship becomes our experience of that loving relationship. And like also the verse this morning, when that position is attained, he who is ajita, he who is not to be conquered by anyone, becomes conquered. That is to say, he's conquered by love. We also become conquered by love. We become controlled by love. That's nice, to be controlled by love. We're controlled. Prabhupada could go on for like hours about how ridiculous it is when people say they're independent. Who's independent? I mean, so many examples he would go on, and you know, we can't even blink our eyelid unless there's some sanction for us to blink our eyelid. And you want to not blink your eyelid. You can't not blink your eyelid because if the controller says blink your eyelid, or you can't digest your food, or you know, where's your independence? I was thinking, because so many, when we went to India, so many devotees got sick. And, you know, the word was, there's lots of viruses going around. And I got two different varieties. They acted very differently, this virus, that virus. But what's a virus? Is it not like you can only see it with a microscope? How small is a virus? And that virus somehow enters into the system and your resistance is not sufficient. You got a virus. This little, like, beep. You insignificant thing. It completely controls you. I'm independent. It's ridiculous. Or, you know, and on and on. Breathe. We can't breathe independently. Prabhupada was saying they can make a machine that can make you breathe. Take the, he says, oxygen gas. Take a dead body, hook it up to some oxygen machine, and make, as you know, the respirators, and make the lungs go. And what's that? The dead body. That's all. What's life? We're not independent. This machine is not independent. It requires an operator, and the operator requires sanctions from the supreme operator. The idea of being independent is ridiculous. But we can, with our full capacity, whatever that minute capacity of independence is, submitted unto the supreme in love. Not just yes sir, no sir, obedience, but love. So we can be controlled by force, or we can be controlled by love. And that's our free will choice. And there's varieties within that, but that's our free will choice. So it's not a huge range, but we're controlled, or we're controlled. Better to be controlled by love. Make that choice. That's good intelligence. And then the mind follows that good intelligence. Accept that which is pleasing to Krishna, reject things that are not pleasing to Krishna. And then the senses are controlled. The senses don't, like the tortoise, they extend where there's some service for Krishna. And there isn't some service for Krishna. They're there, they're just not extended. And it's not a big, I really want to, it's just, there's no want, other than one want. That's protection. We're controlled by love. Receiving instructions, the theme that I wanted to present over this weekend is, when you receive an instruction, it's a great opportunity to enter into that loving relationship with, ultimately with Krishna. And there may be some weakness, there may be some shortcoming. accept the instruction. Strive to make that instruction your life and soul. And it will carry you out of the material condition. That was in this description, that's the verse that we chanted together, is 9, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text number 3, Avyalika Vrata. But what follows in the rest of the chapter is that was Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit wants to hear more about Lord Brahma's seeing the personality of Godhead. So he describes what that experience was. Lord Brahma, we think whatever our instructions might be a little difficult for us, it's commensurate with our position. Lord Brahma's instruction was, he was born when there was nothing. I mean, literally. There wasn't even a light on. There wasn't even a space to have the light on in. There was nothing. It was himself and the lotus flower in darkness in all directions. We may feel lonely. What did Brahma feel? There was nothing. There was nobody to feel, lonely in separation from. There was nobody, nothing. And his first question was, who am I? That's a good beginning. And then along with who am I is where did I come from? Because part of who I am is where I came from. Where did I come from? And he began searching. And he couldn't find where he came from. He climbed down the stem. The stem was a long stem. Indefinitely long. So long Lord Brahma couldn't find the end to it. Although there was a source of the stem, of the lotus, the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Without mercy, he was unable to find it. But then he heard, tapa, tapa. So he went back to the lotus flower and did his tapa. 1,000 celestial years. That's a long time. With darkness everywhere, just do one thing. And the Lord became pleased. Because it wasn't just like, oh, you're good at austerities. It was his purpose. His purpose, if there was any other purpose. And that's in the previous verses of that chapter. I'll read, starting at the beginning of, just read the one previous verse, text 2. As soon as the living entity becomes situated in its constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as the pure self. There's that higher reality, or the real reality, as opposed to the illusion. The illusory energy has us captive, and we know there's a higher reality. I was visiting, before I went to India, at the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, and one of the students came up after the lecture and said, I'm doing this process of meditation, and I find from doing the process of meditation, there are moments when I can really concentrate, and when my mind is peaceful and I can really concentrate, I'm in touch with some higher reality, and it's exhilarating. And I want to stay there, but my mind won't stay there. What to do? How to stay in that higher reality? We didn't get very far because someone else got into the discussion. Said, I've been reading on a website, there's this device, it has a certain vibration. You put this one in this ear and that one in that ear, and then you can really, your mind can concentrate. Oh yeah, what's the website? I'll go check it out. Like, is this some mechanical thing that's going to bring you to a place of shelter? The place where you can stay, according to Bhagavad Gita's teaching, there's this higher taste. That higher taste is our desire for love is fulfilled. A desire to be loved is fulfilled. We don't want to leave that place. That's higher taste. There's actual shelter. Until the soul finds that actual shelter, it's unlimitedly going to go on in permutations and combinations of different things that don't satisfy. So we look for another something and do it another way and continue the journey in la-la land, not really know where we're going, looking for happiness. Receiving this descending mercy in the form of some wonderful instruction. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, King Prataparudra has heard that in his kingdom there's a very amazing sadhu whose name is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's heard about it. So he goes to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's home, who is his chief priest, scholarly priest, and says, "Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, is it true? Is there a great sadhu in my kingdom?" Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's reply is, "He's not a great sadhu. He's the personality of Godhead, and he's in your kingdom." And Prataparudra Maharaj says, "Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, simply on your words, I accept. The Supreme Personality, Godhead, is in my kingdom. Can you arrange for an audience between..." He's the king, asking for an audience. Normally it's the other way around. In other words, someone wants an audience with the king. "Can you arrange an audience with him?" And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, "Yes. He's very strict, sannyasi. It'll have some difficulty, but I'll make that effort." Many things happen. The Lord Chaitanya had gone on his South India tour, and now he comes back. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asks the king, "He's coming back very soon. Can you make a suitable arrangement for him to stay? It should be a quiet place, very peaceful, at the same time very close to the temple of Jagannath, where it's not so peaceful, it's lots of commotion. But some place like that." Immediately, Sarvabhauma, the king says, "I know just the place." He's the king. He's like, you know, his quick. He said, "The house of Kashi Mishra." Kashi Mishra was the spiritual master of the king. But because he's the spiritual master, he has this huge part of the extended palace of the king, the place where the spiritual master of the king resides. And in the house of Kashi Mishra, there's a very remote place, Gambira, that means a quiet, secluded place. "He can stay there. I'll ask Kashi Mishra myself." As soon as Kashi Mishra heard, there was no thinking about it. He was overjoyed. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he was brought to see the place where he would live in the house of Kashi Mishra, Lord Chaitanya accepted that place as his residence. Kashi Mishra placed his head at his feet and said, "Please accept whatever it is that I previously thought was mine. It's now yours. My body, my home, my family, everything that I considered mine," just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "manasa deha geha yoki chumar, it's yours." And Lord Chaitanya placed his feet on his head and showed him a forearm form of Lord Vishnu. Said, "Don't disclose this to anyone." He is the personality of Godhead. message was sent to the devotees in Bengal. After 2 years of travel and another extra 4 months of having left, they've had separation from Lord Chaitanya now for that much period of time. He's come back. So they all came hurriedly, because now approaching time for Rath Yatra. So with double purpose, come for Jagannath Rath Yatra and see Lord Chaitanya. And when they came, they were having kirtan. They're having kirtan near Narendra Sarovar. And the king was watching from the rooftop with Gopinath Acharya, seeing all these ecstatic devotees. He said, I've seen kirtan before, but I've never seen that. He said, what's that? He said, that's Prem Sankirtan. They're filled with love of God. And it's spontaneously coming from them, chanting and dancing in love of God. Tell me who all these people are. And one by one he pointed out who all the people were. And then he said to Gopinath Acharya, why is it that people in general don't understand who Lord Chaitanya is? That's a common question. Why are there, he's the personality of Godhead, how come people don't know more about him and accept him? The answer that Gopinath Acharya gave is very important. He said that without receiving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, or the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's devotees is how you receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it's not possible to understand him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had already said that. He was staying in my home, and I had face to face conversing with him, and I had not a clue until I received the mercy of my brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya. And by his mercy, now I can understand. By his mercy, I received Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Now I can understand. This is the descending process. We require mercy. And mercy can come into our lives through the hearing process. Regularly hear, and with hearing, so many instructions. Take the instructions to heart. Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Sadavaha. That's our access to that mercy. We can break the cycle of repeated birth and death, break the cycle of selfishness and addicted to fruitive activities and all the other foolishness of material life. Actually enter into genuine spiritual life. We have to want that. Nurture that seed, that desire, and the hearing process. Take the instructions in this way. And by so doing, the instruction will carry you out of the material. The person offering the instruction ultimately is Krishna, will carry you out of material existence. That's our process. And it's available to everyone. Just follow the process. Receive it. Okay, Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments, anyone? Yeah.
So,
do we have a portable? Yeah.
Well, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
I'm just trying to understand one thing. First, you know, the way that Hare Krishna is. Thought process is sort of part of the process, sort of chant and be happy.
Yeah.
Right? So then the thought is that, okay, this is what's going to cause happiness. So in the morning when you wake up, you know, you get up really early in the morning.
Good.
And then you sit there, you know, 2 hours, and it makes you feel good.
Good.
Right? Then, you know, 4 or 5 hours later, you continue to feel good, and then you go throughout the day.
Yeah.
You're like, I haven't been chanting, obviously, this is why I'm not as happy. So there's sort of this. You say that the happiness is a perk, right? So how is that? No, I'm just trying to understand. Because I'm chanting because it makes me happy.
Yeah, and because the beginning we're fruitive. It's, you know, that chant and be happy is a fruitive advertisement. But the soul wants to be happy. There's another happiness besides chanting to be happy, and that's chanting, it's just being in your loving relationship with Krishna. So, you know, we could say, chant, and this will situate you in a position where you have no desires for material happiness. Huh? So you advertise, chant and be happy. Okay. Marketing. But so, therefore, this elaborate explanation of going beyond that selfish desire of I want to the higher desire of what I really want is to have no such wants. My happiness, whatever inconvenience I have to undergo, getting up early or chanting for 2 hours or whatever it is, doesn't matter. Austerity is not an issue. It's Krishna's happiness that's the issue. And whatever it is to bring Krishna's happiness, that's love. Chant Hare Krishna and your love of God will awaken, where your happiness is no longer the consideration.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned just serving God, simple. Being a servant of God, that's
it. That's it.
And you know, to the best of my small understanding, I'm doing the best I understand that. The point of clarification I'm looking for, if it is described in the book, is it's also mentioned, I don't know which word, but I've heard it said that, you know, it's a relationship of reciprocation.
Yes. Yes.
So on that point, saying, you know, being served and, you know, God being served, Krishna being the angel, what is the, can you describe that reciprocation?
Sure. The reciprocation is one of love. As from it, you know, the description, again, it's like, you know, one is marketing, the other is a description. The description is from our side. What does Krishna feel from his side? There are little disclosures in Bhagavad Gita what Krishna feels. That person is very dear to me. There's several verses in the end of the 12th chapter. He decorates them with nice qualities. And then he's appreciating, oh, such nice qualities. How dear they are to me. The essence is not the qualities. The essence is their love for him. And then on top it's the qualities. So they approach him with all these wonderful qualities lovingly. How dear they are. I mean, when we're in the company of someone who has wonderful qualities, what do we feel? We feel really attracted to somebody who has wonderful qualities. There are Krishna's qualities, and Krishna's attracted lovingly. Or situated within the heart, Krishna says, whatever it is that they require, I supply. Whatever it is they have, I maintain. Yoga kshema vaham yam. And he's situated in the heart and he sees they genuinely want to reach me. I'll give them the intelligence how they can reach me. I'll give them all the keys to all the locks, all the doors. And in fact, the doors just open. They can just come to me. Krishna embraces them. Maybe he has all these. He becomes the servant of his loving devotee. The devotee doesn't want Krishna to be their servant. He wants Krishna to be their master. Krishna wants to be their servant. What is it that they desire? Let me bring that to them. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. They don't want anything that's harmful, detrimental, or material. They only want, but Krishna only wants. There's a very nice passage in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam where a sage who has offended a devotee has death pursuing him in the form of the Lord Sudarshan Chakra. So he goes to the Supreme Lord and says, this Sudarshan Chakra, I offended your devotee, I didn't have any understanding how great they were, please. And Lord Vishnu says, there's nothing I can do, I'm not independent of my devotee. If my devotee says, call off Sudarshan Chakra, I'll do it. But I'm not independent from my devotee. Because the devotee keeps me in their heart. They're in my heart. And whatever my heart is, whatever they want, I'm not independent. They've sacrificed everything for me. Recognizing that they're everything to me, they're everything for me. You won't find anything in my heart other than what they want. So if they say whatever, then it's whatever. Go to Maharaj Ambarish, Durvasa Muni. Whatever he says, that's what I'll do. I'm his servant. He's bound by their love. That's one of the names of the Lord is Bhakta Vatsala. He's bound by love. He who can't be bound by anybody becomes bound by love. During the Kartik month, for a whole month we sing this beautiful Damodar Astakam, the eight prayers, Astakam, glorifying the love of Mother Jasoda, trying to bind Krishna with rope. And she can't bind Krishna with rope because it's 2 inches too short. So she gets more rope. Hey, that's good math. More than 2 inches rope and tie it together and it goes around. It wouldn't go around. She got oceans of rope and tied it together and it was still 2 inches too short. Because he's the supreme, he's independent. He didn't want to be bound. He wanted to go back to the storeroom to steal more butter and do his program. And he's the supreme Lord, so she couldn't bind him. But when her love was exhibited so strongly, Krishna withdrew his independent position and took the subordinate position and allowed her to bind him with her love. He who can't be bound was bound by the love of Mother Jasoda. That's the reciprocation from his side. He reciprocates with the mood of love that we extend towards him. Yayatam mam prapadyante, first from Bhagavad Gita. As we regard Krishna, he reciprocates accordingly. So the particular rasa or mood of love, he reciprocates accordingly. He becomes someone's child. He becomes someone's beloved. Becomes someone's friend. He's not anybody's child. He's the father of everyone. But he becomes the child of those who have that affection of love, to reciprocate their love. He shows his divinity and covers their consciousness so they can't see it, because it would interrupt their affection of love as a parent towards a child. That's Krishna's, from Krishna's side. And the pastimes of Krishna are filled with that. That's the essence of it. It's just an exchange of love. From the devotee's side to Krishna, from Krishna's side to his devotee. He sometimes arranges a calamity. And then, Krishna! And then Krishna takes the calamity away. It's just to intensify their feelings of love, which Krishna enjoys. And then reciprocates, takes the calamity away. Now their love is more intense. That's Krishna. Yes?
All right, so my question is related to here's something you said about renunciation of material conception. And quoting the verse, I'm not Rasha Shumim, so third Rasha of service means it consists of being free from, is being void of jnana, any tinge of jnana and karma. So I had a question about jnana. So it seems to me that the Bhagavad Gita, is when it refers to the process of jnana to attain realization of God, basically saying, don't practice that. But I was just wondering, it seems to me there's no real delineation of a bona fide method of jnana yoga in the Bhagavad Gita, like there is for karma or jnana yogas. And I was just wondering, is it that there is no bona fide method, even though it's a lesser one, of jnana yoga in the Vedas for Bhagavad Gita?
Well, an application of that is impersonal. In bhakti, there's also knowledge, but the knowledge is descending. So you're asking about a form of ascending, and it's a principle, and that is study of the scriptures for the purpose of acquiring ascending knowledge of what is supreme. That path leads one to Brahman. And the steps of that path are reducing to nil, up to nil, the engagements of the senses with sense objects, like very strict renunciation by abnegation. Very strict. So Mayavad life is like that. That's an example of the form of Gyan, the cultivation of knowledge. Deep study of Vedanta Sutra and other portions of the Vedas as an activity or a path, and reducing engagement of the senses with sense objects, renunciation, strict renunciation, karma sannyas, and deep study, and chanting of Om to connect with the Supreme, to assist one in one's study capacities. That's the form. At best, coming to the stage of Brahman realization. Generally, not getting Brahman realization, but a philosophized form of what Brahman is. A definition by negation only, not a realization. A mental adjustment, not a real realization. But that's the form. Okay? Where is the microphone? Over here.
So you talk about the plan of enjoyment that we have in our material life. We always try to enjoy some gratification. So if we talk about spiritual life, there also we are expecting some sort of reciprocation from the Lord. Unless there is no reciprocation, we won't be motivated. So there also we are somehow looking for enjoyment.
Speak a little slower. Somehow there's a what?
We are also looking for some enjoyment.
I got that part. Somehow?
Like in material life, we make plans of enjoyment.
Yes, I got that part.
Basically, gross and subtle sense enjoyment.
Yes.
But in spiritual life also, unless there is some reciprocation from God, we won't be motivated enough.
Unless there's some reciprocation from the Lord, what happens?
We won't be motivated enough to follow the spiritual path.
Okay. We're not motivated.
So there also we are expecting some sort of happiness, some sort of enjoyment.
Yeah, we spoke about this a little bit earlier. Chant and be happy, right?
So that is also some sort of subtle sense.
Yeah. Well, we start from somewhere. You have to start from somewhere. You can't start from nowhere. You start from somewhere. We have an expectation. That's where we're starting from. We want something. That's an entrepreneurial, I want something. I give something, I receive something. And if I don't receive something, I'm going to take my business elsewhere. But that something comes. the beyond that something that initially comes is also good to know. What's like, what's the mature stage of this process of chanting? The mature stage is the desire is concomitant with the soul to become absolutely desireless. Means to stop being a soul, and that we can't do because we're eternally a soul. So the desire then becomes the will of the Supreme, the happiness of Krishna. And that becomes my happiness, the happiness of the beloved, entering into a loving relationship. That's a desire, that my beloved becomes pleased.
But still, if he doesn't reciprocate, suppose...
There's no question. That's theoretical. God is a person. He reciprocates. Don't make God a non-person, please, because he's a person. There'll be reciprocation. He's a person. As you're a person, how is it that you're a person? Because God's a person. It's like getting stuck in the mud and then pressing the accelerator pedal. And the wheels spin. All that happens is mud flies. You don't go anywhere. There's no traction. So don't just like press the accelerator pedal and just keep saying, well, what if? There's reciprocation. Yes, we have desire. Let that desire become the desire of the beloved. Initially, it's let me become happy. And then that happiness conception starts to change. Naturally so. Just like it's that this beyond this material conception or bodily conception, it happens naturally by the process of devotional service. Krishna lifts one out of that. My happiness is in terms of my senses or getting what I say, this is on my requisition list and I submit it to God. And he's got a big warehouse, and I'm expecting he's going to make sure, you know, I get some of those things checked on that requisition list. And if not, I'm going to go to another warehouse. But so that's our initial position. But later on, it's, you know, we submit nothing other than I'd like your happiness. Who comes to the warehouse saying that? But when there's love, we know that Krishna will take care of what our needs are. We don't have to submit. Can you take care of this problem? Something, something. We don't need to do that. Just let me serve you. That's all. That's happiness. It's total freedom.
Sounds like an advertisement.
You can send your invoice later. Hare Krishna. Someone else? Paramarupa in the back?
Thank you very much for giving your merciful instructions. I wanted to ask a question on, actually a clarification question regarding your point around making an instruction to the spiritual master once life and soul. In your afternoon presentation, you had brought about the two categories of instructions, like both universal and specific.
Yeah.
But in the examples that you gave, particularly in Gracious example, Dashrathi example, and also Dukhi Krishnadas example, all of them are given by specific instructions of their spiritual master. So my question is that, is a specific instruction acts as a stepping stone towards fulfilling the universal instruction?
It can, but it's not a prerequisite. Supposing somebody doesn't have a specific instruction, does that mean like they're depraved or deprived? They don't have a stepping stone to cross to the, you know, to the universal instruction, so they're like stuck. So I'm reluctant to say yes. It can be. It's not necessary. It's maybe, in one sense, it's maybe easier, but it also may be harder, depending upon what the instruction is, and you know what our attachments are, and you know the circumstances surrounding the personal instruction. Like, let's say, a general instruction for a householder may be, don't see your wife, and the wife should not see the husband, as an object to fulfill my material desire. One who sees in that way is the wrong conception. Rather, we're to assist one another in pleasing Guru and Krishna. That's the relationship. So that could be general, it could be specific. Or, you know, best to chant your japa early in the morning. So to do that, you have to rise early in the morning. So rise early in the morning. That can be a specific or it could be a general instruction. So making that differentiation is not so critical. The same principles apply. Next to you.
Hare Krishna. I wanted to add a question. Like some of the days our enthusiasm is very high. Like some days we could even chant 64 rounds or like today was a very high spiritual day, or when you go to dham, you are in a very high spirit. But the next day, as soon as you get back to your daily routine, your regular work, that enthusiasm goes away. So you basically start from that to zero.
No, it's not like that.
So how do you keep enthusiasm?
That's a separate question. But it's not. It's not. You go back to zero. That statement contradicts what Krishna says. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. Any progress that's made on the spiritual path, it's eternal. It's never lost. Never lost. Never back to zero. Whatever it is is permanent. And then you begin from that permanent to the next, whatever the next is. An eternal spiritual account. How to sustain, you know, this is, we had like a long discussion about this. Is Ananta Shesha here? At the end of our two yatras, he asked the same question. And long discussion on that topic with others participating. So to give a short answer, to not just carry remembrance of the experience, but appropriate to the top, the theme of our weekend's discussion is within a wonderful experience, there are certain key resonating messages, and recall those messages, act upon those messages, carry those messages in your heart, speak them to others, remember them, act upon them, and you know that the potency is there within them to rekindle that experience. We'll use the example of filling up a bucket with water that's got holes in it, and after a few steps you walk with the bucket and it's empty because it's got holes in it. So plug the holes. The holes in it is our attachments to sense gratification or the conceptions of being the enjoyer of our little kingdom. It's the kingdom of Maya, and there's no enjoyment until dismantle that conception of being the enjoyer of your little kingdom in the various ways that one tries to be the enjoyer. We each have our own little ways. Those are the holes in the bucket that the experience seeps out. But if we go the other direction, and that's increase our contemplation how to be the humble servant of Guru and Krishna in the circumstances that we find ourselves in when we go back to our day-to-day lives, that's also another opportunity. Exactly as the Kurma Brahman instruction says, your involvement in the material affairs of life will not be an obstruction to your spiritual progress if you follow the, if Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Kurma are followed. And those instructions are very simple. Stay in your position. Chant the holy names of the Lord as much as possible. Always, if possible, hear the transcendental message very attentively. And whoever you meet, wherever you go, share that message with others in some form or fashion, as circumstance suits. At least have carry that desire to do that in your heart, and you'll be protected. Your bucket will remain full. Gradually, over time, that's what will happen. That fullness will be your experience, and it will continue. That sense of fullness will continue. By the sacrifice of the hearing process, primarily, hear from the right sources. Hear attentively from the right sources. Assimilate that which you've heard by putting it into your heart and acting from that place, fulfilling instructions that have been received, and that fullness will be yours progressively. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.